In our last study, we saw Elijah challenging the Israelites, challenging the confessing people of God. Today we will see Elijah challenges the false prophets in verses 22 and 24 of 1 Kings 18. Elijah presents a challenge now to the prophets of Baal. He calls upon them to put their faith in their God on the line. He tells them to put up or to shut up. Let's see whose God is God. In verse 22 of 1 Kings 18, we see, "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Elijah's one man against 450, yet he's willing to stand for God. Talk about courage, talk about guts, talk about faith. Where are the Elijahs today who will stand against everyone if need be so that they can stand with God?'" This is what I mean when I say we have to choose sides. Let us not fear the fact that we're outnumbered. Let us not waver because it may appear that we stand alone. If we stand with God, we're never alone. He is ever there, and He will see us through all of our battles. We see it all throughout the Scripture. With David, with Moses, with Samuel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. God will fight for us. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Elijah lays out the challenge to the people and the prophets in verses 23 and 24 of 1 Kings 18. "Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God." So all the people answered and said, "It's well spoken." Elijah lays out the challenge to offer a bull and to pray. The God who answers by sending fire from heaven will be worshipped as God. Elijah tells them that they are not to put fire under. History records that often pagan altars had a ditch dug out underneath where a priest could hide and light a fire, making it look as though a pagan god was responding. This was just the way the prophets of Baal acted. Baal was a fertility god who was seen in the rain and in the sun. They felt he was responsible for life. Baal hadn't been able to send rain, though, for 3.5 years, but surely he could send fire. You see, the worshippers of Baal believed that he could be seen on the great thunderheads that brought rain on the land, but they also thought that he could be seen in the sun itself. When they looked into the sky and saw the bright burning sun overhead, they felt they were looking directly at God. Baal would answer their prayers, they figured. Baal would answer. He would show to be the true God. There were some in the crowd, though, that would have remembered that it was Jehovah that had spoken by fire in the past. If the prophets of Baal thought that Baal could bring fire, there would have been some Israelites in the crowd that would have remembered that Jehovah had spoken by fire in the past. They might have remembered the burning bush, the fire on the altar of the temple, the pillar of fire in the wilderness, the fact that God had consumed the murmuring crowd with fire, or the fact that God's fire had lit the top of Mount Sinai. Either way, it seemed a fair challenge to the people, to the prophets of Baal. Let us see whose God is God. Look at verse 24. "Then you call on the name of your gods, I'll call on the name of the Lord. and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. Tragedy lies in the fact that the people are even willing to consider that Baal might be real. Realize, the people are considering that Baal might be real. After all the things that God had done for them, how could they stoop to the place where they would even consider a contest of this kind? Imagine them expecting God to prove himself to them after all he had already done for them and their nation. How soon we forget what God has done in the past. But let us remember, before we come down too harshly on these people, maybe we should admit that we're often guilty of the same things. When we allow life and all of its distractions crowd God out, we're as guilty as they are. When we come to the place where we wonder what God has to offer, then we're in bad shape. When we forget his blessings, forget his power, forget his grace, forget his goodness, we're in terrible shape spiritually. We're no different than the children of Israel of that day. When we live lives that are substandard spiritually, we're guilty of asking God to prove himself to us. When God has to compete with everything else in your life just to get a minute of your attention, let alone your faithful service, you are in the same shape as these Israelites were in. Do you see how it's possible to get into this position? Look at verses, well, we won't read them, verses 25 through 38. We see the contest now, the challenge is executed. We see the problems of the false prophets. We see the prophets of Baal, they get to go first. We see their ministry in verses 25 and 26. From early morning to noon, these false prophets prayed, they screamed, they called on Baal, but no fire came down and no answer was given to them at all. They appeared to be wasting their time. In verse 27, we see Elijah mocking them. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating, he's busy, or maybe he's on a journey, perhaps he's sleeping. Must be awakened. Now he's antagonizing them, they're mocking him. Surely he's a god. You better cry louder. What's his problem? Maybe he's doing something else, too busy to help you. Maybe he left town, maybe he went out hunting, maybe he's asleep, maybe you need to wake him up. Elijah's rough on these boys. But really, they deserve pity. So it is with this world around us. They're so foolish that they waste their entire lives living for things that will die with them. They spend their entire lives building a dream, only to see everything vanish and be replaced by hell when they die. God help us who know the Lord to love these people, to reach out to them, and to try to make a difference in their lives for the glory of God. It's very easy to mock and laugh at those who worship the false gods. We see their misery in verses 28 and 29. Elijah's mocking them, sends them into a fit of rage. They scream, they jump, they cut their bodies in an attempt to get a response from Baal. How often today the false gods of this world demand the worship of their disciples. The Bible tells us that there was no voice, neither any to answer them, nor any that regarded their prayers. That last phrase, look at verse 28 and 29. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering and the evening sacrifice. But notice the false gods. Notice, brothers and sisters, notice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. How sad. How sad. No voice. No one answers. No one pays attention. But yet our God would say to you today to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. What a different God we have than the false prophets had. They are screaming, jumping, cutting their bodies. 450 crazed prophets of Baal prophesying, yelling, dancing, jumping, cutting themselves, all in an effort to get the attention of a God that didn't even exist. And yet, the glorious God, our Father in heaven, tells us, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Come boldly. Make your petitions known. Make your supplications known. Yet, how often we do not come. There we see the power of now the prophet of God in verses 30 through 38. After this pitiful scene of the false prophets, the faithful prophet Elijah steps forward. What he does teaches us about the ministry of faith in God and faithfulness to God and service. Notice what Elijah does. Starting at verse 30, he calls the people to come near. True faith, unlike false worship, has absolutely nothing to hide. You had better watch the group that talks of secret things and hidden truth. Do not be afraid to put Christianity under the microscope. It can stand the test. In verse 33, he slaughters and presents a sin offering. A bull was used for the sin offering. The people had sinned, and Elijah's offering a sin offering for the people. Elijah knew where the real problem was. If you are saved, the sin offering has already been presented, and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants from you. What God wants from you is the sacrifice of repentance and confession. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We see the prophet in verses 33 to 35. Elijah wanted them to not doubt that it's the work of God. He's so certain that God would do this thing that he placed obstacles in God's way. There were 12 stones for 12 tribes divided through idolatry. He used 12 barrels of water to signify that these 12 tribes were 12 hindrances to the glory of God being revealed in them. Elijah's primary goal was that God could get every ounce of the glory. When that becomes your goal and my goal, we will see the Lord work wonders in our midst as well. We see the prayer in verses 36 and 37. The Baal prophets have prayed at least 6 hours and nothing happened. Elijah steps up to his altar and prays a 63-word prayer. His prayer was constructed to accomplish 3 things. Notice, that God be glorified, that the prophet be vindicated, and that the people would be revived. Elijah could have prayed for rain, but he did not. Why? Because he knew that as badly as rain was needed, the people needed revival more. You need revival more than you need some more stuff. We may think we know what we need in our lives, but in truth, the greatest need we have is to get exactly where God wants us to be and to serve Him there. That was the heart of Elijah, and it should be our heart as well. Elijah, even by the side of the brook Cherith, by himself, yet he wanted God and served God and loved God. When he was just with the widow and her son, loved God, wanted God, served God. And now, here he is in glory. He's in the glorious place, honoring God before all the false prophets and all of the people. Notice verse 38 of 1 Kings 18. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Wow. Elijah finishes praying. God answers in a spectacular fashion. note the order in which the elements were consumed. If the items had burned from the bottom up, it might have looked like a man had did it, like the false prophets. They had the fire hidden down there. However, everything burned from the top down, from the top down, just as the temple, the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. The fire comes down. The fire comes down. Just let me remind us right now that God will honor that person who was sold out to his will. The only way to honor God is to be sold out to his will, to glorify God. If you live by faith, you need never fear the Lord letting you down. He will always come through for you. But let me say that we must never underestimate the power of a totally dedicated life. If you're sold out, the Lord will use you greatly. Did you notice that when the fire fell, it fell on the sacrifice and not on the sinners? What a picture of Jesus Christ. He took our place on the cross and absorbed the wrath of God so that we might be free from wrath, death, and hell. The fire could have fell on the people. The wrath of God could have consumed the people. But yet, we see the mercies of the Lord. Notice in verses 39. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." The people have their proof. They should have never questioned the Lord, but they did, and He answers in a brilliant display of power and glory. Notice, they fell on their faces. They fell on their faces. What a beautiful picture of true conviction. Finally, the people of the Lord are bowing before the Lord in humility. If you know that the Lord is God today, you should find yourself in the same place that these wicked people found themselves. We ought to be humble and prostrate before the Lord our God. He is worthy of our love, worthy of our devotion, and worthy of our praise. Do you see in this text, in the text today, the extremes that the Lord has to go to get, quote unquote, the people of God to worship Him? In verse 40, we see the removal of the wicked prophets. And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. The wicked shall have their day. The rebellious shall have their day. After all is said and done, after all is said and settled, Elijah took the prophets of Baal down to the brook Kishon and killed them all. Some people read this and they're offended that all these men were killed. However, Elijah simply did what had to be done. Why? Like a cancer that will destroy its host unless it is dealt with, these Baal prophets were destroying Israel, and they had to go. They had to go. God was just. God was righteous. Another reason was that Elijah was simply doing what God had commanded in the law. Realize, in Deuteronomy 13:5, it says this, "And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." There's no greater crime against humanity than to lead men to a Christless grave. Do you realize that? You who don't find no problem with false prophets and false teachers, they've spoken to turn the people away. How much more wicked can you be than to turn people away from the Lord your God? It's one thing to be an atheist, but it's quite another thing to turn the people of God away from the Lord their God. How often? It says in the text in Deuteronomy, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. As you and I examine our lives this morning, are there areas that we have allowed to become soft spiritually, especially in this day of such apostasy, of so many false prophets? Has your life become soft spiritually? Is it your devotional life? Is it your witnessing life? Is it your church life? Is it your praise life? Or is it any number of things? Maybe you've allowed some sin to creep into your life and you've been hindered in your walk with God. You know where you should stand today, and what you need to do is to come before the Lord today and put those things to death. But if you're thinking of doing that, be forewarned that it requires great courage and stamina. The Christian life is hard, brothers and sisters. Picking up your cross day by day is hard. Loving the Lord with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength is hard. Be ye holy as he is holy is hard. All of these things are rather impossible in and of ourselves, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is to be the goal in our lives. Elijah wasn't sinless, but he had made up his mind to follow the Lord God. When he spoke before Elijah in the king's court, spoke before Ahab in the king's court, he served the Lord in the glory. When he was by the brook Cherith by himself, being fed by ravens, he served the Lord. He didn't change from glory to being cut off and cut down. From there, he was humbled by having to depend on a widow. The lowest class of people in that society was the widow. They couldn't provide by themselves. And here's the prophet. He has to go to her. Hey, you want to feed me? Learns humility, but yet still serves the Lord. Comes before 450 men, the false prophets, but yet trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in glory. Trust the Lord faithfully. Trust the Lord when he's being cut off, cut down. Trust the Lord when he's being tested, when his pride is being stripped away. Do we really need to challenge the Lord to prove that he is God today? Is that what you really need? That's the opposite of faith. That's the opposite of faith. We're always challenging the Lord. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll come through here, I'll come through there. If you do this, Lord, I'll do this. If you give me this thing, then I'll serve you. If you give me whatever, fill in the blank. Do we need to really set up a trial and ask God to jump through hoops for us? Dangerous thing, a dangerous place to be. Maybe if God did, then we would serve him. Is that what you think? It would be far better for God's people who claim to love him anyway to just come before him and confess our sins, render our thanks, and offer our praise and love to him. Wouldn't you think that that is far easier? Wouldn't you think that that is more glorifying to God? Or maybe you would be found today as an unbeliever, like the prophets of Baal. Maybe you're not even saved today. One day there will come a time when, just as it says in verse 40 of our text, and Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let any one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. If you would hear this message today, and you're not saved, if you haven't been saved from the wrath of God, if you haven't been born again, if you have not been regenerated, if you never come to Jesus Christ and repented of your sin and believed in Him, that day will come for you. You will be gathered up. You will be gathered up and you will be brought down to hell for an eternity. Today, who is God? Who is God? Who is your God? Is your God the God of Elijah? Or is your God Baal? Or unfortunately, for many today, their God is kind of between the God of Elijah and the God of Baal. If that's your God, realize He's no God at all. That's a God that you've made up in the idol factory of your mind. If it is the God of Elijah, then serve Him, worship Him, adore Him, trust Him, and believe in Him. If your God is the God of Baal, then as the scripture says, hey, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy yourself. Because at the end, you will be brought down to hell and executed. What God will you serve today? Will it be the God of Elijah, the God of Baal, or the God that you have made up in your own mind? I would pray today that you would turn to the God of Elijah, for He is the only true God. And I would ask you to do this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.